Thank you, Jenny. Well, it's great to be speaking today on the first Sunday of Advent, because on the church's calendar, this is like the first day of the year. It's like New Year's Day for the church. And the tradition, which we've done this morning, is to light the first candle on the Advent wreath. So the Advent wreath probably originated in Germany and Scandinavia as a home devotional practice. Probably the Christians adopted it from the pagan practices, and it was used by the Lutherans and Catholics in the Middle Ages. And families would have one of these wreaths at their dinner tables, and at the start of Advent, they'd light the first candle with their meal, and then in the second week, they'd have two candles lit, and so on. And then they'd finish their meal and say their Advent prayers. Well, in the 19th century, the churches adopted this practice, and the Advent wreaths have become part of the worship and symbolism of Advent in the church since then. And the lit candles represent that there is always hope, even in the darkest of times, in the midst of winter, even in the middle of a pandemic. The circle of the wreath's foliage under the candles reminds us of eternity and of God's everlasting love that will hold us forever. And we light the candle each week as we approach Christmas, which represents the dawn coming nearer, the light becoming brighter, as the light of the world is going to break upon us, as Christ is born in the manger. And the choirs of angels are going to fill the skies and sing his praise. Heaven has come to earth. So Advent means coming or arrival, and it's a season that's rich in meaning for the church. And I'd like to sum it up this morning like this. The King has come, the King is here, and the King is coming. We look back to the King of creation coming to earth as a baby. We celebrate that the King is here with us today, Emmanuel, God with us by his Spirit. And we watch and wait, prepare and pray for his second coming. Just as we've heard from Mark's Gospel today, the King of glory coming on the clouds and gathering his people from the four corners of the earth to himself. Well, one way we can express that watching and waiting is to take some time out from the busyness of Christmas and come and make use of the church when it is open for private prayer. And we're going to go on carrying that on all through Advent. So do come and make use of this prayerful space. Now, Jane Williams has written a beautiful book of reflections on different paintings that have meaning for her in Advent. And it's called The Art of Advent. And hopefully you're going to see on your screens one of these paintings by William Hunt. Now, there's a life-size painting of this image hanging in St. Paul's Cathedral, and it's based on Revelation 3, verse 20. Behold, I am standing at the door knocking. If you hear my voice, I will come into you and eat with you, and you with me. Hunt called this painting The Light of the World, and Jesus is holding a lantern and wearing a crown. Well, God started his Advent preparations before the beginning of time, and he comes to us in Jesus to invite us to come home to him. But in this painting, the door is shut, and there is no handle on the outside. Only the person on the other side of the door can open it. And the door is very overgrown. It appears not to have been opened in a while. At Advent, Jesus Christ the King comes to us in the darkness of winter, and perhaps the darkness many of us are feeling in our own lives. And he knocks on the door and asks if he can come in and dine with us, or as the Old English Version says, sup with us, share a relaxed family supper together. And he carries a light, but he hasn't just come to hand over the light. He is the light. And he brings hope, peace, comfort, joy, and everlasting life. So why would you not want to let him in? Whatever the lockdown rules end up being this Christmas, he is one guest you will be allowed. It doesn't matter how great your darkness is. Darkness and light are the same to God. So if you've never opened the door of your heart to Jesus, can I urge you not to wait any longer and say yes to his offer of life and light. And if you've had the door shut for a while and it's got a bit overgrown and the hinges are a bit rusty, Advent is the time to address that and make some time and space to be with the Lord and ask him to help you clear away that overgrowth and oil the hinges. There's an old worship song I've been singing, which you may know. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. In Advent, as we spend time in worship, gazing on the loveliness of our Saviour Jesus, the tinsel and the presents and the things that the adverts tell us we need to have for the perfect Christmas will become a little bit less essential and a little less of a distraction from the real focus of our celebrations this Christmas, our beautiful Saviour, the coming King. So in Advent, we look back with thankfulness to the first coming of Christ and prepare for the second coming of our King, when Jesus comes to complete the work he started. But we can also be expectant now for a fresh encounter with the Lord, for signs of the kingdom coming now, for the King is here. There's a couple of stories leading up to the birth of Jesus that we read in Advent, and we see two very different responses to an encounter with God. We read of Zechariah, who is going to be the father of John the Baptist, and of Mary, who will be the virgin mother of Jesus Christ. Now, Zechariah was a faithful priest who knew the scriptures and was serving God. And it was his once-in-a-lifetime moment to go and burn incense in the holy place of the temple. And here he encounters an angel who tells him that his wife Elizabeth, who is barren and past childbearing years, will have a son. Well, basically, Zechariah does not believe the angel Gabriel and is struck dumb for 9 months until the child is born. It seems he didn't really expect God to do anything in his time. He believed the doctrine of God that he would send a saviour, but had lost sight of God's nearness and bigness. And perhaps he was fitting God into his story rather than realising God was far bigger than his story. He was asleep to what God was doing in the world. And then by contrast, we have the account of Mary, who is also visited by an angel and told that she will bear a child, even though she is very young and has never slept with a man. And she believes the angel and says, "Yes, let it be done according to your will." Two very different responses. I wonder how ready we will respond to the Lord this Advent, if we hear him knocking at our door, as he comes and invites us to take part in his great story of salvation for the whole earth, inviting us in new ways to be involved in ushering in his kingdom. Am I like Zechariah the priest, going through the motions of religious worship, not ready and expectant for the living God to break in? Or am I like Mary, eager to carry the things that are on God's heart for this world? I think Mary had already said yes to the Lord. She had already prayed, "Lord, use me, pick me, choose me, send me, let me be your handmaiden." She had already opened the door and rolled out a red carpet for the King to walk on in her life of prayer and devotion. She had already volunteered. And God had seen her yes. The final verse from Isaiah expresses a surrender to God. "You are the potter, Lord. I am the clay." Or as John Wimber, founder of the Vineyard Churches, used to say, "I am just loose change in the pocket of God. He can spend me as he pleases." Am I going to believe it is Jesus knocking at my door and run to open it? Or keep it shut in disbelief that he would choose me? I'd like to finish this talk by looking at our rather challenging Advent reading from Mark's Gospel. And this chapter is known as the Little Apocalypse. It begins with a prophecy of the destruction of the temple. something the Jews would never have imagined witnessing. And then in our reading, we have the sun darkening and stars falling from the sky. Well, Tom Wright says that all the hearers would never have actually taken this literally. They would have understood that this is apocalyptic language, describing events that cause turmoil and upheaval across the world. Well, 2020 has certainly been a year of apocalyptic upheaval. And Jesus is telling his followers not to despair, because when these last things happen, these events will be followed by his return. So he tells them to be alert, watching, waiting, and ready. The king is coming. Well, to be perfectly honest with you, I would much rather just preach on Psalm 23 every week. Such words of tender love and comfort. But just like in teaching, when I couldn't leave out the tricky bits of the physics that I'd rather not have taught, because my students wouldn't have been prepared for their exams, as preachers, we have to teach the whole story so that we are prepared for Christ's coming. And Jesus is urging us to be awake, watching, even through the night, to be ready. Because none of us know when we will die, or when Christ will return, or which will come first. So we need to be ready. He is coming again on the clouds of glory, not as a baby this time, and we all love a baby. But this time he is coming crowned with glory and majesty, and every knee will bow. Sorrow and darkness will be ended, wars will cease, and every tear will be wiped away. No wonder the Spirit and the bride pray in Revelation, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." The King has come, the King is here, and the King is coming. I'd like to close with an Advent prayer. Lord Jesus, light of the world, we open the doors of our hearts to you. Shine your light in our darkness and in the dark places of the world. Reveal what is truly important this Christmas and help us to see you at work in our lives so that we may shine with hope to those around us. Amen.